Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketer's podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn a bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully a little bit about them personally. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of e-commerce and retail strategy at Quad. I'm excited about today's guest, my friend, Scott Wanamaker, Director of Performance Marketing at TurboTenant. Scott's a performance marketing and e-commerce expert with over 15 years of experience driving growth for leading brands. Scott spent 10 years on the agency side working with top retail and SaaS companies before launching his own consulting practice. From there, he moved in-house to lead performance marketing at Zappos, one of the most recognized names in e-commerce. Now, as Director of Performance Marketing at TurboTenant, Scott oversees strategy across paid media and SEO. He's passionate about building cross-functional teams and making sure performance marketing isn't just a silo, but a key part of the overall business and marketing strategy. Based in Denver and armed with an MBA, Scott brings a thoughtful, business-first approach to digital growth. Scott, welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you for having me, Marcus. How's it going?
Great. Let's start for the people that aren't familiar with TurboTenant about what you guys do, and let us know about the brand.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are an all-in-one platform to help independent landlords market rentals, screen tenants, sign leases, and collect rent. Really, the entire process of managing a rental property. We're designed to help streamline the process and just make life easier for landlords. We look at our customers. A lot of them are small landlords, one to two properties. It's about 75% of the landlords that are signing up on our platform. So we look at a lot of what we're doing as more B2C marketing. A lot of these landlords don't even really consider themselves businesses. You know, they inherited a property, they don't want to sell it, or they're moving and they don't want to sell their original primary residence. So they become a landlord and start renting it. And TurboTenant was really started to just help streamline everything. And instead of using, Excel and notes to manage the process, we're an all-in-one platform to help landlords do that.
What a great problem to solve in the industry. When we first started talking and you landed at TurboTenant, one of the things that impressed me was what a hassle that whole business of running a rental property would be for a guy like myself, and how you solve for that really in an enterprise way.
Totally. And we're a freemium product, so any landlord who's just interested in learning more about the product, trying the product, can come sign up and experience most of the features are available. There's a few different models that we have.
I want to talk about audience a lot because you mentioned the accidental landlord and how oftentimes people may inherit a home or a life circumstance happens that leads to them having that additional property and they choose not to sell it. In terms of your audience, what percentage of those people are kind of really intentional? I'm going out to build a rental business versus the accidental landlord. Are there?
Yeah, totally. I think we definitely skew both ways in terms of if you look at all the landlords that are signing up for TurboTenant, the average number of properties that landlords have is more like 5 to 6 properties. The average skews higher because we do also cater to larger landlords, but the bulk of the signups that we get, new landlords coming to the platform, are those smaller landlords.
Why don't you walk through the assortment of the offering a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can do just about anything through the TurboTenant platform that you would need to do to be a landlord. So we can help you post and syndicate your property out to tons of different rental listing websites. Think apartments.com as an example. We will help collect and manage those applicants as they come in through the platform. We'll do the background checks and tenant screenings to make sure that they're a qualified tenant and there's no concerns if you're gonna obviously rent your home out to them. And then from like the day to day, you can manage your maintenance requests through there to through the platform. So you don't have to be taking all these one-off phone calls. We can help with that. You can, and then collect rent at the end of the day through the platform. And all the little things that go in between that as well. Think about like when a new land or new tenant moves into a property, the forms to make sure like, you know, they're evaluating the property, the condition reports, making sure everything's good. We can manage that whole process through there. And, you know, I really think the one thing that's awesome is a lot of our team here at TurboTenant, we are landlords, and they are, and then the team behind the product is, are people who are our landlords themselves. So we're continually adding new features and trying to make our own lives easier as landlords.
So you understand the problems deeply and are able to, bring that life experience to the product. So you're director of performance marketing. Tell me about what that role entails at TurboTenant.
Right. So as the director of performance marketing, I am tasked with driving customer growth. And the way we look at customers here at TurboTenant, it's obviously a little bit different as a subscription model and a freemium model. We are initially getting that first sign up. So we're tasked with trying to drive as many customers as we can to the platform. And that first sign up is that free account. So you have to sign up for that account to really access any of the features, even if you don't want to pay for the subscription model. And then from there, obviously, we want to make sure that the traffic we are driving is converting into customers and are adopting our products. So they're becoming premium subscribers, or they're, you know, doing a one-off purchase if they wanted to do, you know, just a background check through us. So my team is tasked with overseeing all of our paid media. So that's a lot of your traditional channels like Google Ads, Meta, Facebook Ads, as well as our organic, so our SEO and our content production.
I'm guessing search is a big part of that business.
Search is our biggest driver of customers right now. It's our biggest area of investment from a paid channel standpoint.
Yeah. What other triggers can you use to identify potential customers that might be about to become that so-called accidental landlord?
I think that actually skews really well to our content strategy from an organic standpoint. We are producing 50 plus articles a month. We have a wealth of resources. We rank really well organically. AI search is really big for us as well in terms of making sure our content is built in a way to show up there. And that's been a strong traffic driver for us and a growing traffic driver. I think that's like that first point where we can get to potential customers sooner in their journey. And then from there, we reinforce that with all of our paid advertising. And we're looking at keywords across the entire journey, right? So everything from, think property management software, which is maybe something that someone who's a little bit more familiar with the industry would search, to just, I think tenant screening or how to collect rent as a keyword is a good area to also bring in people who are maybe a little bit unfamiliar with the process. And then we can kind of show them what the product is capable of and get them in the door and trying out some of our features.
Thank you. Two things to pursue further there. First, let's talk about content. 50 articles a month is a ton of content. How are you doing it?
Yeah, so we work with some in-house writers and some outsourced partners to help with the content production. It's everything from educational pieces to maybe there's relevant topics going on in the industry. It is obviously hard. There's the point of potential like saturation in some of the content, but also a lot of it is like refreshing the content, right? You think about, I think SEO a few years ago, and you wanted original content, you wanted long form content, you wanted content that was keyword rich and had a lot of information in it to help rank in Google. I think with the shift that we're seeing to like AI search and AI overviews. You know, if you do a Google search today, you'll see those AI overviews for a lot of queries. Those, the way those LLMs, you know, ChatGPT, Google Gemini are crawling the sites is different. So it's not always new content production. It's also refreshing all of our old content. You know, we might have lease agreement templates that people can use, and those we want to update on a regular basis to make sure that any new laws are applicable at like a state level. The content is also structured differently in terms of you want shorter sentences or shorter paragraphs, making it easier for those like AI crawlers to identify your content. So instead of longer paragraphs, we're shortening some of the content up. We're making sure just like the most relevant pieces of information are right there when you land on the site. And that's a lot of what we're doing as well.
That was the second thing I wanted to dive into is AI content. I want to stay one more question about the content creation itself. Are you hosting that just on site? Are you publishing it elsewhere? What are some of the strategies you're using there?
Yeah, we do some syndication. We work with some partners to help us syndicate content out. We have a content website separate from TurboTenant that we are posting some of that content on as well. And a lot of it is still going on the site.
Fascinating. I'm you know, color me impressed. That is a great way to drive an organic SEO strategy. But it also takes discipline and work.
It takes a lot of work. And, you know, it's funny. I've seen posts on LinkedIn, SEO is dead. Brands are concerned of like the inflection point of AI and people just searching differently. And like, I would really challenge that assumption. SEO is not dead. We are seeing double-digit growth from our SEO organic traffic and our SEO strategy year on year, which is awesome. And I really think as we also, you know, think about that shift to AI, it's not purely, you know, we're not doing anything. I wouldn't say we are doing stuff differently in terms of like the content, the structure of the content, but that content production is still what's powering that AI search. So, you know, I would say to brands who are hesitant to produce content right now, it's still king, I think, from an SEO standpoint.
I love that. Yeah, that's been a point of discussion at a variety of the industry events that I've attended recently, is how search has become so much more fragmented than it was before, you know, in terms of the customer discovery process. Let's talk more about AI and search and SEO, and maybe elaborate on a few of the strategies that you're using to make sure you remain relevant in that world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first it starts with how we're tracking AI search. And we have experimented just in the last couple of months, a number of tools that can help look at how frequently we are showing up in AI search as a brand. And we've set our own benchmarks on what we want to attain for that frequency. And we are benchmarking that across our competitors. So we're using a platform right now called Gumshoe that helps us basically build personas. The platform actually uses AI to scan your site, crawl your own site, build customer personas, and then use those personas to ask the different AI agents questions. And then it records those questions and it looks at where does TurboTenant show up versus where does our competitor show up. And it's really cool. It shows, you know, are there queries where we're not showing up? And then we can tie that back to a persona. So let's go back to like the accidental landlord. Hey, these are the most common questions that the AI agent basically thinks people are searching. And then it's showing, hey, TurboTenant showing up in five of these questions. We're not showing up in these five. And then where within each of those questions do we show up? Does one of our competitors typically get quoted before us or after us? And that's how it kind of does its own positioning analysis in those AI results. So I think, again, everything goes back to how you're tracking this and the tools you're using to help understand what people are searching on these AI agents.
Got it.
And then from there, you know, we spin that into our content production, make sure we're addressing those questions on our site. You know, we're using more FAQ format on the site. So here's a question, here's an answer. It's not super long, but we're getting right to the point and we're directly addressing, you know, the questions we think people are asking.
Got it. And so that's the second time you've talked about shorter form content rather than longer tail.
Yeah, what we've seen and I've seen this published as well is that as the AI agents are crawling the site, that shorter, almost easier to read for them. But think of it as also easy to read for the consumer.
Yes.
It gets right to the point. There's not, you know, you're not trying to find two sentences in five paragraphs of text. You're trying to find two sentences and it's two sentences of text answering that question.
Got it. All right, coming back. So now you've identified a gap. I want to talk about customer personas in a second. You've identified that gap, and now you're addressing that presumably with more or better content regarding whatever that place where one of your competitors places higher. How long have you been doing this, and are you seeing that changes your ranking, if you will, in the AI search?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say within the last year, we've really started focusing on this AI component and setting mm-hmm. goals to that we want to achieve in terms of the frequency in which we're showing up. We are noticing that we're moving the needle. And I would say along with that, like traditional SEO, like I think we're moving the needle there as well. Like we're still seeing that really strong growth from our traditional organic rankings. And I think those two things together are playing into almost this flywheel of SEO and organic content. So we're ranking better in traditional search, and at the same time, we're ranking better across LLMs and AI agents.
Got it. Yeah, and that makes perfect sense that both, you know, all ships will rise with the tide, as it were.
Yep.
Before we get into personas, one more question on AI search and how, what do you see happening in the next couple of years relative to how this changes?
Yeah, I see the intersection of like paid and organic becoming more muddled. And AI. What I mean by that is, you know, Google, at least in the US, has already started putting ads in their AI overviews. And then, you know, if you've ever looked at those AI overviews, there's usually those little links next to the different quotes that you can go, and it brings you directly to that spot on a page. And it might be, you know, they're quoting three different sources. There's going to be three different links to each of those sources. Google has started putting those same style links in traditional organic results as well. So you can click to maybe go to a blog post, but now they're experimenting with these like almost like a micro link underneath the traditional organic result. And that's going to take you directly to a spot on that blog post, similar to the way those links in AI overviews would. So you're seeing that, like, you know, I think what they're seeing work in AI start to cross over more into traditional organic search.
And
at the same time, they're putting the paid ads into the AI overviews. And I think we could potentially see shifts in how all of those things work together to change like ranking signals across both paid and organic.
As the difference between organic and paid merges or smashes together, becomes less defined, measurement becomes a big part of that. Your success as a marketer.
Absolutely. 100%.
Interesting. All right. Let's talk about personas for a bit. Do you guys, is that, you know, we talk about every marketer has some level of customer personas. How do you go about building those, and how well defined do you feel they are?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think here at TurboTenant, you know, we've really listened to and explored how our landlords are using the platform, and then what types of landlords are coming to use the platform. So one thing that we've done is we have onboarding flows. So when you're coming to the site, you're signing up for the first time, we ask a variety of questions to help get a better understanding of who you are as a landlord. What interests you in the product? What features do you want to use? It helps tell us a few things. Obviously, it helps give us some insight into them, but it also helps give us some insight into the likelihood of them, signing on to TurboTenant as a premium customer. If they're going to adopt a lot of our product features, there's an option to say what features do you want to use. If they select all of them, we know they're highly likely to convert into a premium customer. If they select, hey, we're just here for background checks, we know they're maybe just going to do that one-off purchase, get the background check, and they're just trying to fill a property, and they maybe have somebody that they already have in mind as a tenant. They just need us as a resource to help close the gap. So those are some of the ways in which we've kind of built those personas and listened to our customers and then try to speak with them in our marketing.
Got it. And then each one's journey looks different, and probably the way you engage with them evolves.
Absolutely.
Got it. All right. You've made a big change. I understand why you call it more B2C than B2B in TurboTenant, but a radical change from your time at Zappos, where it was, pure play, large scale e-commerce, direct to consumer. What's been the biggest surprise in that change?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest surprise is actually how we are operating the business right now as a high growth startup. I say startup, we've been around for 10 years, TurboTenant. I would say we've still consider ourselves a startup. We're still out there trying to grow. We are heavily investing in all aspects of the customer journey. My time at Zappos, we did a lot of experimenting and tried a lot of cool new things. The core of our investment was more of that lower funnel. We were using Google Shopping. It was one of our biggest channels. And it was purely transactional. I'd say at TurboTenant right now, even though our budgets are much smaller than I got to play around with at Zappos, we're doing a lot more mid and upper funnel marketing to help kind of balance out all of the other performance marketing we're doing. So we're investing in connected TV advertising. We're testing digital out of home. We have billboards. You can see a billboard in Times Square if you're there at the right day and time. So we're doing a lot of cool things to build the brand that I think just Zappos as a legacy brand was shying away from. It was a lot more ROI, purely ROI focused in a lot of the marketing. And this is giving myself and then the team a lot of freedom here at TurboTenant to just experiment and see what works and try to capture new audiences.
It's fascinating. Freedom and fun too.
It's fun.
Go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, Marcus. I was going to say one of our tenants is to make this the most fun team of your career.
Cool.
Yeah, we do have a lot of fun with what we're doing, but we also drive a lot of strong results. So it affords us that fun.
Fascinating. Now that comes to another, as you move upper funnel, actually I'll take a different tack on that. I would say that every piece of media is responsible for both brand building and performance. But as you move upper funnel, it becomes more important to have, to figure out how to evaluate the performance of that media. How are you doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we right now I'll take connected TV as an example. We rely on the platform and we have set goals within the constraints of the platform's tracking that we still want to hit. So we know we're not going to see that same visibility of the performance of that channel and, Google Analytics, for example, because people are viewing a TV commercial, but we're relying on their tracking. And right now we've set goals to align with what we think is reasonable from like a cost per acquisition standpoint for that channel. So it's not perfect by any means, and that's something where we're actively working to try to get better with as we explore some new measurement solutions going into 2026. But we're trusting the platform to an extent. And then we try to complement that the best we can with other forms of testing. Geo testing is something that we can do within Connected TV to help kind of validate some of the results and see if we see a lift if we turn the ads on or off in a certain market.
Got it. Well, and some brand building is important because your brand isn't oftentimes known, and there's a certain first mover advantage probably in your business. I'm the so-called accidental landlord, or I've decided I'm going to try to subcontract work that I've internally tried to manage myself as a property owner. As soon as I can get that problem solved, I probably am going to take it. That's not necessarily a situation where I'm going to shop around to save a penny.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Got it.
And, you know, I look at any brand building as a really strong complement to the, lower funnel channels, right? You see a TurboTendon ad on TV, and then you're more inclined to just click on one of our paid ads when we come up amongst a handful of our competitors in Google search. So there's a lot of value there. And I think long-term we'll see, ROI and proof of all of our other media from that brand building, even if we're not directly attributing the customer back to that channel.
This is really cool. Am I missing anything that tactically or strategically that you're doing at TurboTendon that I haven't asked about that merits discussion?
You know, I think the one thing, as we're just on the topic of measurement, is exploring kind of what's next from a measurement standpoint. You know, we did this at Zappos where we rolled out an MMM to help us measure the incrementality of our media investment. And that is certainly something that's on the horizon for TurboTendon. And I think it's easier now more than ever to find platforms that you can leverage as a brand, even a smaller brand, to help better understand the incrementality of your investment, start moving your brand away from, last click Google Analytics, use a multi-touch attribution platform. So some of the stuff that's on my mind and I think is important for a lot of marketers to hear, because I still think there are a lot. I know back from my agency days, a lot of brands still relying heavily on Google Analytics, last touch. And there's so many tools out there now that can help you move away from that. That just, if you're a marketer, that's one thing I would just shout out.
Thank you for that. And you're right. And even though you're several years removed from the agency side of the world, we see it all the time. It is a universal problem that measurement and attribution is a difficult thing. And moving to some kind of model that identifies incrementality allows you to identify the collaborative nature of how your media works together and, what is really the impact of things like mid and upper funnel, programs. So anyway, I'm fascinated to hear that. Thank you. Really appreciate that. That's good guidance. All right, let's switch gears to you personally, Scott. How in the hell did you get into marketing?
Yeah, so it's funny. I actually, before college, thought I was going to go into computer science. And I was afforded the opportunity to take some marketing classes in high school. And I remember going to a college fair with my mom. Well, this was a long time ago now. And she'd be like, you want to go to look at computer science programs? And I was like, no, I think I'm going to do marketing. And this was the first time she had ever heard of it. Found a program, studied marketing through college. And then after college, really the transition to e-commerce, it was right when Facebook was really becoming big in terms of social media marketing. It was still a fairly new term. Nobody really knew how to do it yet or use the platform. So I got an internship at an e-commerce brand, and then that internship turned into a full-time role, and that enabled me to explore different channels, start doing some search, affiliate marketing, And then I moved from that role into the agency world, and I really wanted to take that step to just better, just experience different things, I guess you would say. Work on different channels, meet different people, work with different size clients, and I've just stuck with it ever since.
And then you left the agency side to go brand side.
And then I left the agency side. Well, so I left the agency side to do some of my own consulting. And then that led me to to Zappos. Yeah. So I did some work for Zappos before I was hired full time. And I've loved moving the transition back to the brand side. It's been fun. It's nice to kind of have a singular brand to focus on, but while working across different channels, you know, I think the agency side, a lot of times you find yourself siloed into maybe a single channel for a brand, maybe a couple, but you know, you're not yes. always seeing the entire marketing picture. And you know, doing the work at Zappos and now TurboTenant is I get kind of my hands on a little bit of everything. And that helps, us kind of figure out the stories we want to tell, the marketing channels we want to dive into, better understand the data and how everything's working together. And I've really enjoyed the transition back to the brand side.
Where do you draw inspiration from?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the channel I'm looking into. So if we're talking social media and that strategy, there's a lot of like really fun brands. And I like some of the edgier marketing. I think of like a Duolingo where they're always pushing out, I would say, interesting content to put it nicely. I would say most of my inspiration, though, I love being hands-on in the platforms that we're doing the marketing in. So whether that's Meta or Google, I don't need to be in them on a day-to-day basis making the changes like I used to be able to do. I think that's like afforded me the ability and the skills to be able to go into those platforms today and poke around and understand what's happening and like identify trends. I love just doing my own analysis on our campaigns and trying to understand what's happening.
How about outside of work? How do you refresh your batteries?
Totally. Yeah, I love cooking. My wife and I actually are hoping one day we'll get our Italian citizenship. I'm Italian on my mom's side. And I got a pizza oven recently. I make fresh pizza, fresh pasta. So that is just always trying new recipes. Things like that is something I like doing. And then outside of that, you know, we have a dog and a cat and just that downtime. And we live in Colorado, so we can go hiking. It's the fall
That's
right now.
It's beautiful outside.
Yeah. It's just walking around my neighborhood right now. The trees are 10 different colors. It's beautiful. And then like, that's all I need to be refreshed.
Let's kind of wrap things up with, if you could tell your younger self one principle that's kind of been essential to your success, or that you know today, what would it be?
Yeah, I would say just do it. Like I was saying a minute ago, getting into the platforms. I think marketers who aren't familiar with the platforms or stay really high level, I think they're going to struggle in the future. I think it's a way to start differentiating yourself. It's a way to build skills.
Well, if somebody wants to connect with you, what's a good way to do it?
Yeah, LinkedIn would be great. It's linkedin.com/Scott Wanamaker. I think if you go to scottwanamaker.com, it redirects to LinkedIn, my LinkedIn profile, keeping it really simple. Or you can email me, scott@turbotenant.com.
Fantastic. Well, dude, thank you so much for making the time to be on the show with us. It's just been great to talk to you.
Yeah, same.
And thank you for joining us on Directly Speaking today, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the content and enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Scott a little bit better along with us. Hope to have you again soon. Have a great day, everybody.